Tell us a bit about your relationship with your activism over the decades.
Yeah, and I suppose it's a bit how it changes, because, you know, I noticed in one of the pre-things was about how has it changed. And you don't like to go on getting older and it's changed, but of course it has. I suppose the single phrase is I spend a lot less time on the streets.
Okay.
My activism, yeah. Used to be fairly street-based. And I suppose, actually, the other bit that wasn't street-based was trade union stuff. Yeah. So, and this is the thing when you're older, you say, when I'm younger, but that comes such a broad range of stuff. So particularly, you know, my very early activism, I was involved in, you know, classic traditional left-wing politics, Trotskyite politics, you know, which was selling the paper, going on picket lines, going on demos, going to meetings to hear the word and all that sort of stuff. Backed with involvement in trade union, and I was a shop steward from a very early age. First time I ever spoke in public was to 300 people in the town hall when I was 17, you know, as this little kid, you know, in the finance department of the council. And I did a lot of training stuff, you know, as a senior steward, and was in what is now Unison, but was NALGO and NUPI. So a lot of that action was around trade union stuff, and that was both classic shop steward representing the people who I worked with, but probably also more broadly, i.e. well, I suppose the two strands of the board stuff, you know, fighting for good terms and conditions, salaries, you know, that sort of thing. I was on strike for 3 months as a residential worker in 1983-84. You know, that was an incredible peak of all that sort of stuff. But also, you know, and this is one of the great things about trade unions, and particularly some of the more active aware ones, was their campaigning on broader issues. You know, and through those unions, I was involved in everything from supporting women's right to choose to some of the early GLF stuff, as it was in those days, and to actually stuff, that broader stuff. Then probably more in my mid to late, no, probably 30s, I probably shifted a bit. I'd moved out of that more classic, narrower Trotskyite stuff, was still doing trade union stuff, but got quite interested in direct action and supporting that. Most initially with around disability and the Direct Action Network, which I was engaged with both work and in my personal life. And that whole direction, that, you know, small demos on the streets, chaining, people being chained to buses, stopping the traffic. The stuff that's back very much in the news nowadays, isn't it, because of what's going on around climate change, but doing that around disability. And then from there, and where there's a lot of interest now, the stuff around ACT UP. So ACT UP was the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, and they were using direct action to fight discrimination and prejudice around HIV and AIDS, and to fight for good services. And I think that's an interesting one, because my involvement in that, doing that very much direct action, was a bit of crossover of being involved in AIDS Advice, but that wasn't activism, that was about providing direct support for people.
Okay.
But there is a bit of a Venn diagram about where that crosses over.
Definitely.
And I've always argued you need to do both. I know some people feel they only have energy for one, and I understand that, but I do think generally you need to do a bit of direct support to people, you know, like I might do for instance now with PATHRAS, but also some energy to try and change the world. So that sort of direct action stuff. And going back to my, you know, flippant point at the start, less time on the streets now, I'm less involved in that, because I'm not involved in any campaigning around that. So my activism nowadays, the main thing I do is I'm on the board of Marching Out Together, which is the Leeds United LGBTQ plus fan group. And what that does, it does two things, I suppose maybe three. One of which is campaigning for LGBT equality and inclusion within football. The second thing we do a bit is using football as a way of promoting generic LGBT equality, and it also supports other LGBT fans.
Yes.
And that's quite an interesting one, because it's an odd one. And I'm involved in that because I'm a Leeds United fan. You know, that's why. So it's quite an interesting area. But talking to other activists about going, oh, why would you be involved in football? What's interesting about it is, it's on the one that he's challenging, you know, he's one of the last bastions of bloody all sorts, his football.
Yes, yeah.
You know, my God, finally one football has come out in the whole of the country. I mean, that's the level. And it was none until a year ago, and that was a couple. But if you do something, and we've had some real good success with Leeds United, Leeds United has a million Instagram followers. So when they put out something from us, or a picture of a logo, or the captain saying something around LGBT History Month, yes, that's massive impact.
Yes.
I think a thread, though, that this is a personal thread that runs through all this, so it's been very much as an ally.
Mm.
And I think allyship's a really interesting one. I do think as an ally you have to be slightly careful, you know. I'm not black, I'm not disabled, I'm not LGBT. So you have to be slightly careful, but I do think as a white, straight, able-bodied man, you should be doing the work. But you always have to do that under the leadership of those groups and being clear about what your function is. But bringing in your skills, your knowledge, your passion, your body to help bring about that change.
Pause there.